Welcome to Pneuma Church Podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we all grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
Oh God, we thank you for what you started and what you birthed in our hearts, for what you're doing and where you're taking your church. And God, we say yes. We say yes to all that you have. We thank you, God, the revival is not just a good idea. It is not just a branded statement, but it is your heart for this world and for this state and for this nation. And I thank you for a God, for a church that is leaning in this season to all that you have. That the manifest presence of God would be so tangible and real in our lives. And that as we step into our everyday, it becomes the miraculous, it becomes the supernatural through the extension of your people. And God, I'm asking today, Holy Spirit, would you come and would you reveal to us your word? Your word for us today as a church, God. Would you lean in and whisper into our ears today your heart, your desire? And God, as we look to you to do it again, God, would you cultivate and stir in us an appetite that is ongoing forevermore, that we would hunger and thirst for more of you, more of your presence, to behold your beauty and to behold your goodness, your grace, your mercy, your love, and that saved us. God, we thank you for our salvation. We thank you that we know you. We thank you that we walk with you. We thank you that we get to talk with you and we get to encounter you in moments that we've had. But God, we know that there's so much more. So today, Lord, we, your people, we lean in and we give you our yes. From the very outset, God, we give you our yes. Jesus. I just keep hearing him saying, I want to do it again. I want to do it again. I want to do it again. Who's experienced the goodness and the grace and the mercy of God in recent weeks, recent years, recent decades? This church is almost 100 years old. This is nothing new. It used to be the old school Pentecostal two-step dance. God's not done. He's not finished. He's got more to do. Come on. Whew. Okay. Welcome to all our locations online. Thanks for joining us. You are as much a part of this. Right across every location, the Spirit of God's breaking out in your location. We're so glad that you could be with us today. We pray that God would catapult His Word into your hearts. Transform us to be more like him. Amen. Come on, why don't you take your seats? Thank you so much. Wow. I just went to the bathroom and tried to fix my makeup. Pretty sure it just got ruined. Oh, Lord, 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 Lord. Okay. We have just come out of, thank you so much, worship team, just for leading us so beautifully into his presence, just to behold him and to see him. And when we see him, we see everything rightly. So thank you. We have been leaning into this desire for all of things of heaven to be here on earth and for his kingdom come and his will to be done. And we've been leaning into a season of revival. We had revival conference and we know that revival is not just a, like I said before, a branded statement. Revival is the people of God being revived to revive others. And it has to result in revival to revive. God's intention has never changed. God's intention has always been the same since the beginning of time. The desire of it was that the glory of God would not be contained to a temple or to a tabernacle, but into you and I who would now be a temple and carry the glory of God into cities and nations. Because God has always been a God of multiplication. He has always, since the beginning of time, wanted it to go from the mountain to the nations, from the temple to the city, and from the manifest presence to the miraculous in the here and now. It's been his heart since the beginning of time. If you remember in Genesis, when God created Adam and Eve, he didn't just create Adam and Eve and say, you two will do, I'll just have you. He said to them in verse 28 of chapter 1, go be fruitful and multiply. Yep. Multiplication is our God. Yep. He's the God of the more. He's the God of more than enough. He's the God of increase. He's the God of multiplication. And see, this is the thing. Revival can never just be about you and I in a church having a great moment. It has to go out. It has to impact a city. As Christians are revived, they are to revive others. When God said to Adam and Eve, I want you to go be fruitful and multiply, the word literally multiply there in the Hebrew actually means to become great, to become many, to become numerous, and to increase beyond. And so this idea that we are to multiply is not a new idea. This is heaven's strategy for the earth. I don't necessarily get it, fully understand it, but God decided there would be a good idea to come down, bring Jesus, have him train 12 men, one fall away, and 11 of them are left to go and take this good news and multiply and go beyond what we could dream or imagine. Now, if you look around the room, we're descendants thereof, and you remember when God turns up to Abraham in Genesis and he says to him, he's complaining, he's like, what about my offspring? I've got no one to leave my inheritance to. And he pulls Abraham out of the tent and says, hey, just take a look at the stars. This will be the numerous descendants that you have. Well, he's sitting there going, looking at himself, his body, his wife, and perhaps her body, and going, how's that even possible? But God is a God of multiplication. Now, he may never have seen the fullness of that, but when we look around the room today and across all of our locations, I see the descendants that have come from the offspring that are now a part of what God was doing. Because God was a God of multiplication. God is a God of multiplication. And so therefore, there is this sense that multiplication is not just a... Did anyone do maths at school? I mean, hopefully you all did. I tried. But there was like maths plus sums, and then there was multiplication. I was pretty okay when we had one figure, but when you had to go to double figures for multiplication, that got me a little bit stumped. Sometimes I feel like it's easier. We'll just stay with what we know. But God's invitation is, I'm a God of multiplication times multiplication. I can't fathom it, but I know this to be true. I know that God has started something in this house 100 years ago of a river of God that would go out into cities and nations. And we have been ascending church for over almost 100 years because God is a God of multiplication. And the same God that turned up in Abraham's world turns up in Ezekiel's world and takes him on this journey through a vision. And this vision is found in Ezekiel chapter 47 where God takes Ezekiel through this process to the temple. And he says, here is a river, here is a trickle, here is a stream. And water starts to seep out from under the door of the temple. And it's only a reminder of that which God instituted in Genesis chapter 2, verse 10, when God actually set up the river in the Garden of Eden. The river of God is nothing new. The river of God existed before time. And it was never God's intent that it would be just kept locked up, but that it would be poured out among many. And he takes Ezekiel on this journey, and we know it, if you remember it, he takes him into the water up to his ankles, and then he takes him up to his knees, and then he takes him up to his waist, and then he takes him up to the point of his neck, and it says, in which he realized you could only then swim. And this river of God is what we have been enjoying, but the river of God was never just meant to exist to be a river for enjoyment or refreshment or for reviving. The river of God was meant to go out, and wherever it goes, it says in Ezekiel that it brought healing. It brought life. And literally, and Ezekiel is shown through this passage as he walks through that literally wherever the river went, life began. Trees began to pop up. Fish began to breed. Fish began to appear in the water. And then it says, when it was too deep for him to swim, the Lord took him up to the bank where he saw fishes of men. Fishermen on the banks, fishing for the multitude of fish. Do you remember when Jesus turned up to the disciples and said, hey, follow me? I will make you fishers of men. That wasn't a new idea. That was something that has existed in God from the very beginning. Multiplication is his thing. And he said to the disciples, I will make you fishers of men. Are you following Jesus? You're a fisher of men. The question is, when did we last go fishing? Some of us don't even know how to pick up a rod. But he calls us fishermen. He calls us fishers of men. In Luke chapter 5, verse 9 and 10, Jesus is having the conversation just after they've gone out into the water and have tried to catch all day, all night. Do you remember the story? The disciples have gone out fishing all night. Jesus turns up and says, hey guys, throw your nets on the side. And then they take this massive haul catch where the nets begin to break and all this stuff begins to happen. Do you remember that story? And there's this multiplication, supernatural moment where the disciples are absolutely astounded. And Jesus says to them, no longer will you catch fish, but you will catch men. I want to suggest to you today, Jesus is coming to his church to say, church, it's time to go fishing. It's time for you to be the fishers of men that I have called you to be. And I believe more than ever that it's God's desire that you would be a fisher of men. Why? Because the river of God, wherever it goes, fish multiply, healing happens, life happens. John chapter 7, verse 37 to 39 tells us that if we believe and if we thirst for him, he will actually cause rivers of living water to flow up out of you and I. You know what that means? You're God's strategy to reach mankind. You're heaven's strategy. You are heaven's strategy to literally take rivers wherever you go, the river goes, which means wherever you go, wherever the river goes, healing goes, multiplication goes, and fishing goes. Sometimes it's really easy for us to forget about the fact that we're called to be fishers of men. I don't know about you, but I live a life that I'm busy. I'm in meetings. I have go here, go there, do this, do that. There's a lot of things happening. And more often than not, it's those moments where I'm looking down and I'm on my business. I'm on the move. I'm doing what I need to do that I'm actually not got my eyes up to see where the harvest is. That's why Jesus said to the disciples in John chapter 4, interrupts a story about the woman at the well and says to them, lift up your eyes and look and see the harvest field. Why? Because he sent them into Samaria. They went to go get what was natural, food for Jesus, come back and feed him. A woman comes out, she meets Jesus, receives of the supernatural, goes back into the town with her testimony, her story, and that whole city comes out to meet Jesus. What was Jesus doing interrupting that story? He was interrupting that story to tell the disciples, you missed it. You know me. You've seen what I can do. I sent you into a town and it says, I sent you into labor. You missed it. And others have labored and entered into your labor. The woman went in with her story, her testimony, and literally the whole city came to meet Jesus. And it says after that in verse 39 that many believed because they met Jesus, no longer just because of her story. Do you know that your testimony, your testimony has the power to turn a city upside down? It's not because you're great, it's because God's great in you. And God actually saved you out of your sin, your mess, your brokenness to actually save a people group that you connect with because he put you there for that purpose. She went back to the same town that she was trying to hide from. She went back to the same place. She came out to that well at midday. That day, midday, the heat of the day, was so she didn't have to deal with anybody because of her credibility with the town and the people in the town, how she was known. Well, she ran back to the same place that she was shamed of, ran back and told them about Jesus. And as a result, her testimony became the bridge that brought people to Jesus. Want to know how to go to fish? Get your testimony sorted out. See, the thing is it's one thing to know that we are called to fish. But it's another thing to actually get disappointed, disillusioned by whatever it is, whether it's a loss of a leader, whether it's a change of transition and season in life, whether it's just purely time and familiarity breeding contempt. Let me put it to you like this. When you go to tell your story and someone asks you about your story and you're like, maybe 20 mile, and you stumble across it because you haven't told it in a long time. But when you first got saved, you could tell that story. You could tell that story like nobody else could. When someone gets saved for the first time, it's wild. They're like on fire. They can't shut up and they share that story with everybody they meet. Yep. But you know, like any good marriage, it's like, it's good. It's meant to get better and you love each other more on the day towards the end than you did when you first started. Yep. Easy to do, but what happened to the roses? What happened to the chocolates? What happened to all the little things that went along the way? Because we get familiar. It's possible to fall more in love with Jesus and get familiar with what he did for you. It's actually possible to be in love with him, come and worship him, and forget what he did for you and not share that with anybody. Jesus, John chapter 21, Jesus comes, and it's the second time that Jesus says that he manifested himself to the disciples. The first one was in John chapter 2, after he's just done the wedding, turned water into wine. It says in verse 11 that he manifested his glory. Now that was really significant for you to know, because it's the first time since the temple moment that God had actually manifested his presence to mankind, and it had been 400 years. What had locked it up 400 years ago was disobedience. What unlocked it was obedience. And what happens is Jesus manifests his glory, and it says the disciples believed in him, and then they went to the next town to tell people about him. He and Jesus and his brothers went to the next town. Because there's something happens that when you seek him, you need to go tell somebody about him. And interestingly enough, the disciples do 3 years with Jesus, and he gets to the end of it, and God decides that this is a good time for Jesus to manifest himself again to the disciples. The disciples are a little bit despondent. Jesus already appeared to them twice and said to them, hey, I'll meet you in Galilee. Galilee, I meant to go to the mountain. But the boys returned to what they knew best. It says that Jesus turned up in verse 1 and he manifested himself. It says he showed himself. And when you go into the Greek, it's actually the word manifest. Meant that he displayed his glory again to the boys. And as he's standing there displaying his glory to them in this way, it gives us this picture. Jesus is walking on the sea, on the shore of the sea. Peter and the disciples, he's decided, you know what? I'm going fishing. And he says, boys, I'm going fishing. Now, that was not really in God's intention or in Jesus' intention, because they had a mission to get after. He said, go make disciples. And he goes, oh, I'm going fishing. He'd experienced Jesus. He'd walked with Jesus. He encountered Jesus. Jesus had changed his life. And at the moment on the beach, Peter has gone fishing. He gets out onto the water. They toil all day and all night and catch nothing. Have you ever been there? Have you been witnessing to that one person for so long that you just don't seem to break through? Have you been sharing with that same thing, with that same person, and it just doesn't seem to go anywhere? Sometimes we feel like we're going fishing and we're getting nowhere. Let's be honest. I've been there. But at the end of the day, Jesus turns up on the sea, on the edge of the sea, walking. The boys are in the boat and he hollers out to them, hey children, hey boys, hey lads, did you catch anything? Now they've been there before, they've not caught anything, they know that, and Jesus is not asking because he's like, oh, did you catch anything? He's saying, did you catch anything? Because he's recognizing, hey boys, you need to realize where you are. You've gone back to what you used to do when I've called you to be fishers of men. And it says in the next verse down, it says that John recognizes that it's Jesus and says to Peter, it's the Lord. Jesus, in this conversation with the disciples, literally says to them, hey, throw your nets over the other side. Now, there's no difference between 3-foot boat from one side to the other. He's just manifested his presence and now he's about to do the miraculous. Because when you see Jesus, he does the miraculous. And it goes on and it says in John chapter 21, it says, he said to them, cast your nets upon the other side and you will find some. So they cast their nets and they were not able to draw them in because of the multitude of fish. The disciples still haven't had the aha moment until this moment here. Therefore, the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. Now, when Simon Peter heard this, that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, flew out of the boat, plunged into the sea. Maybe he thought he was going to walk on water. Don't know. Can't confirm. Or to die. But the other disciples came in a little boat and they came from far from land, 200 cubits, dragging in the net with fish. And then as soon as they had come, they saw the fire of coals and the fish laid on it and the bread. And Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish which you have caught. Simon Peter went up, dragged the net to land full of large fish, just in case you missed it, 153 of them. Although there were so many, the net was not broken. And Jesus said to them, come and eat breakfast. None of the disciples dared ask you who you are, knowing it was the Lord. Jesus came to them, took bread, gave it to them, and likewise the fish. Now, this is the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. Jesus takes this moment, he manifests his glory, and then he does the miraculous. Peter, in his doubt, disappointment, despair, destitution, in respect to what are we going to do, where are we going to go, what's happening with our lives and our future, and da-da-da-da-da, losing sight of Jesus because Jesus had gone, all of a sudden sees Jesus and comes running back. And Jesus uses this moment to remind the disciples, boys, I didn't call you to be fishermen, I called you to be fishers of men. And they come running in and the rest of the chapter goes on to say that Jesus reinstates Peter. Peter, do you love me? Yes, I love you. And he says to him, feed my sheep. And he brings him back to this orientation of, I'm telling you here now, I've called you to be fishers of men. I need you to be on the same page that I'm on. Church, I'm here to tell you today that God wants his church back. Jesus wants to actually see his church become the fishers of men that he called us to be. And he's here to remind us today. He's here to reinstate some of us today. And he's here to release us to the nations to be fishers of men, not fishermen. But often what stands in between us is our yieldedness and our obedience. When the disciples were standing there on the boat and a man walks past that they did not recognize, we know it to be Jesus, and says to them, did you catch anything? They say nothing. They say, we caught nothing. Jesus literally is hearing them echo back what we've seen before in previous chapters. And Jesus reminds them, hey, look up, throw the other side. And even in that moment of throw the other side, there had to be a yieldedness, there had to be an obedience, there had to be a willingness to actually step in and go fish again. And in that moment, that's what unlocked the multitudes. That's what unlocked the multitudes. He said, throw the nets to the other side, and they did. And I tell you what, Jesus is coming to his church to say time. It's time to throw the nets again. I don't care whether you've shared your faith 10 times with that person. I don't care whether you've gone out and hit the streets and you've been rejected 10 times. Now is the time to throw your nets and go fish again. But the problem is most of us don't know what type of fishermen we are or that we're meant to be. It's interesting, when Jesus is speaking to the disciples, we see the picture presented, there's nets, and it's very clear that there is a partnership taking place between these men to go fish. And I want to suggest to you today that we are the church that God has called us to be, that we would go fish and that we would do that in partnership with him and with each other, at his word, yielded in obedience to what he actually wants to do. But there's a problem if you don't know how to fish. Right? So what type of fisherman are you? So I'm a country girl. I was actually born, raised in the city, but I went to the country. So they label me a country girl. Because I do country things. See, to be a fisherman is to know your tools and to know what you've got and to know who you are. The rod style type of fishing is one of patience. I've sat on many riverbanks where I've prayed, Lord, would you let the great haul of catch come to my rod? And I've played this game with God around the individual fishing line and throwing out my line with my testimony, whoosh, putting it out there, waiting to see if someone takes the bait, rip it in, pull it in. But you know, some of us don't even know how to hold a rod, cast a rod. Tell our testimony, share our testimony, share the gospel. Some of us are holding the tool in our hand going, well, which way does that work? I can't seem to. Some of us have actually gone, well, I actually don't know what I'm doing and I'm just going to leave this and just going to enjoy the river. Gonna dance in the river. Pentecostal two slip. Some of you know it. God's not called us to be ones that would just swim and enjoy the river. He's called us to be rivers in people's worlds and lives where multiplication, healing, and salvation comes. The thing is that there are many types of fishermen, and I promise you I won't throw this at anyone. You got the individual patient fisherman that sits on the side of the river with the fishing rod waiting for a bite. And then you have the other type of fisherman. The other type of fisherman that likes to get into the river and recognizes I'm here to fish and goes out and starts hunting fish. What fisherman are you? What fisherman do you need to be at the right time, at the right place for somebody? Because some of us might have a preferred option, but God might say, actually, right now's the time for a spear. Right now's the time for you to go hunt. Right now's the time for you not to sit back and just be patient and wait for a bite. The spear's an interesting one because, you know, look. We catch fish. They die so that we can come back to life. They are dead. They come back to life when they come back to Christ. But a spear, you have to know how to use it. It's actually a really skilled fisherman that knows how to use a spear. My question to you today is, would you know if I gave you this, how to use it? How do you go hunting as a believer when it comes to the things of the kingdom of God and reaching people and sharing the good news of the gospel? Do you know how to? I suggest that many of us don't. And often we'll just put things down and be like, well, that's just not for me. I'll leave that to the specialist evangelist over there, that one that seems to do that and seems to be really good at it. You know, Friday night, we just finished recording a whole bunch of podcasts because we're creating toolkits for you to be able to engage in this next season in this Win Our World series. This heaven strategy is you. God's plan is multiplication and he wants to use you. And we're starting to plan out all these different toolkits that we can put into your hands to teach you how to use the tools. And one of the best things was walking out of our podcast recording on a Friday night, came out about 6:30, and there's 10 people on our team out there on the street taking their spear, going out hunting to find people for Jesus. Now, some of you might freak out about that idea, but have you been trained on how to do it? Because God might call you to speak to that person down the street. And do you have the openness and the yieldedness and the obedience to actually lean in and say, yes, Lord, I'll go. I know how to use the tool. Many of us miss opportunities like the disciples did, where the woman took it and brought a whole city. We miss it because, not because we don't want to, but because we don't know how to. We don't know how to. Now, the last type of fisherman that there is that I see and we see reflected in this story, I've got a couple of volunteers here because this can't be done in isolation. This actually has to be done in partnership, and it's called dragnet fishing. And when I was a teenager, I used to go to the dams with a friend, and we would go dragnet fishing. Because there's nothing worse than sitting on the edge of a riverbank and trying to cast a rod and wait for bites and sit back and wait for hours. I'm a very impatient person. And we would take what these are. Now, this is a very small version. Imagine a 100-foot version. And we would take these nets, and in partnership, we would walk across this dam up to our knees. We would walk across it and we would drag it for a massive catch. And this is what's represented here in the Bible. We see with the fishermen. They throw their nets in. They bring the nets up and there's a massive catch. But the key thing about this is it's done in a partnership. And my question to you is what does it look like for you to use a net? You can't work it on your own. You need to do it in a context of partnership and connection and community. That might look like you guys running an alpha in your life group and inviting unsaved friends into it. That might look like you inviting someone to our service in 3 weeks' time on the 11th of August to hear a gospel message. But what does it look like for you to work in partnership with somebody to actually realize that you're a fisherman and you've got to go catch? There's no point playing with the net. There's no point just cleaning it and mending it. It's got to be used. My question is to us today is, what type of fisherman are we? And what type of fishermen are we required to be for the people that God has placed in our lives? We need to engage with God on how do we use these tools. More often than not, I talk to people and their reason for not wanting to engage in evangelism is because either they've had previous rejection or they've got fear of rejection because or fear of failure because they don't feel like they know what they're doing. In the same way, if I walked up to you and handed you this microphone, some of you would be able, if I handed a microphone to like a Lucas, I'd be able to give it to him and he'd get up and he'd preach the gospel. Some of you, I'd give you a microphone and you're like, oh no, I don't want that. Please take that. I don't want that. And you'd push it away. We actually need to be prepared to give a reason for the hope that we have. And we have to determine, do we know how to use the tools? You guys can take a seat. Thank you so much. Do you know how to use the tools? On the screens behind me right now, you're going to see that we have created a toolkit for you. Now, if you've been here for the last 5 years, you will have known we've done a series called Sharing Jesus Confidently. And we've equipped you as the church to be able to share the gospel with people in your world. And if you haven't done it, I'd invite you to engage in that tool. It's pretty essential as a starter to know that you're a fisherman and just how to fish. It's going to be a good start. But there are other tools that we have created in order to help you on this journey of being a fisherman. Because, friends, you are heaven's strategy. When Jesus comes to you on the shore of your life and says, you caught anything? What's our response? Have we been fishing lately? Have we been fishing at all? We are his strategy for multiplication across the earth to be fishers of men. And I'm telling you right now, we are living in a season in the life of history where we are in a place where people are open and hungry for good news. They're open and hungry for spiritual conversations more than they ever have been before. I literally last night got a text message from someone I've been friends with and been in connection with for the last 10 years of their life. I have sown seed, thrown the line, thrown the bait, thrown seed, thrown. I've gone after it over and over. And so occasionally, I've gone hunting with a spear and I've missed a couple of times. That feeling? At the end of the day, it's not up for me to convince or convert anybody or convict anybody. That's the Holy Spirit's role. My job is to bring a conversation that enables someone to hear the good news and decide what they will do with it. And finally, after 10 years, this young person reached out to me and said, hey, you, I would love to catch up with you and talk to you. I'm like, yeah, let's catch up. I'm actually up in town. I've just been called to come to this conference and preach. I'm going to be there. Would you want to catch up? Yes, I'll come to the conference. I've been fishing for 10 years. That's a long time to be sitting on a riverbank. Took me by surprise. I got multiple lines out and I'm like, why? That one just bit. Quick, get on it. And literally came to the conference. I preached my little heart out. We worshipped our hearts out. Like, it was wild and crazy and awesome. And he's never been in church before. He walked in and sat down and was engaged in conversation. People loved on him. They chatted to him. They talked to him, asked him questions. How you doing? Did that, that. He felt the love of God through the people of God. He sat through it, and we get in the car at the end of the night for me to drive him home. And he says, I rate it. I'm like, okay, what's that mean? I mean, I gave my best, man. I went after it, right? I rate it. I'm like, okay, awesome. That's cool. What does that mean? And he goes on to tell me, he goes, because there was a couple of moments where I was like, I said, you're going to have to look after him because I'm going to be up there. Can you look after him? Yeah, yeah, all good, good. And I got them all to break out and pray for each other. You know, for the new person in the room, that's pretty awkward. I don't know if you felt like that when they all leaned over and prayed for you. That might have been awkward for you. Joe, just saying, bro. But in that moment, for my friend, my friend and my dad actually being one of them, my brother-in-law the other, they looked after him and they prayed for him. And he said, you know, when they prayed for me, he referenced this, when they prayed for me, he said, I felt it. I felt the connection. He goes, all righty, you're all passionate about what you're actually singing and what you're actually praying and what you're actually hearing. And there's something that is real in this. I'm like, 10 years? you know why I'm sharing this with you? Because I'm just like you. I've got a bunch of lines in. Every now and again, I take a spear out. Every now and again, I've got a net. And I'm like, come on, guys, let's do this together. As a church, let's get together on the 11th of August, invite all our unsaved friends and bring them in for a catch, a haul. Oh, I'm telling you right now, the wait and bait thing is good, but there's more. You know, the spear and the hunt and getting after it, there's more. With the dragon haul and the trawl of a dragnet, I'm telling you, there's a multiplication that's ready to crack open in this nation. And we can't pretend that, oh, well, they're not interested because I tried that 10 years ago. Or they're not interested because I tried that, you know, 10 days ago. No, 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 no. It's time to go fishing.
That's right.
It's time to go fishing. What's your fishing tool of choice? And do you know how to use it? So we've created a bunch of tools. We've got a whole bunch of videos where we've actually gone in and we've heard their stories. We've asked them to come in and talk with us and share their stories with us about how they got saved and then how they are now leading others to the Lord. And I'm telling you, our team are walking out of those interviews bawling their eyes out because they're hearing of the saving grace of God afresh. And it's rekindling, it's reigniting something. And I believe that God is awakening his church in this season to say, hey guys, come on, provoke, stir, set yourself up, learn the tools. You might listen to a podcast and hear something and go, you know what, I could actually do that. That might actually work. So we've created podcasts, we've created different stories where we're captivating and we're capturing people's stories so that they can actually be used to be able to present the gospel to somebody else. We're teaching people, how do you tell your story in 1 minute? How do you tell your story in 3 minutes? How do you tell your story in half an hour? How do you tell your story in 4 hours when you're sitting in the hairdressing appointment? All the women said amen. And that moment where you've got a long time. How do you tell your story when you've got to share something with a petrol station person? Console operator at a petrol station. How do you share your story with the mum at your kids' soccer team? How do you share it when you've got this much time, this much time? And we're trying to teach you how to narrow down and refine your story because you need to know how to use the tools. Now, here's one of the testimonies of the goodness of God and what he's doing. In a short snippet of a story that's changing other people's worlds and lives. Turn your eyes to the screen.
Hi, my name's Willow and I didn't grow up religious at all. I was going down a really wrong path. My dad was in prison for most of my childhood. My mum worked a lot, so I was home alone a lot all the time. I fell into the wrong crowd of wagging school, doing drugs, seeking validation from men at a young age as well. And that led me into a really abusive relationship that this relationship really defined my life, because I cut off everyone, friends, family, life. I was isolated for about 4 years, and out of a really physically abusive fight I had with my ex-partner is where I chose Jesus. Jesus found me in a moment I really needed him, and he saved me from a moment that I just thought was never ending. And after that, it took me some time to get out of that relationship, but he just gave me so much grace and love, and I have not looked back since. It's just been such a beautiful journey with him, and there's really hard days, but I know I'm never alone. I know I've got God by my side every moment of every day, and I could not ask for more.
Come on. You have a story and it needs to be heard. You have a story that needs to be prepared in order for it to be heard. And we've created a tool in which you can jump on the QR code in the back of your seat. You'll also have an opportunity for that later to connect with it, but it'll literally take you to a place where you can record your story. You can do the tools, the training, and all the resources that we have. We have all of these different things and happening in our life groups, and bringing people into a hospitality life group where it's like that social week. Don't just get together and have a holy huddle again. Why don't you bring some unsaved people in there? Get them to meet your other Christian friends. You don't have to do a study. It's a social. Hang out. Be social. Bring your friends into their world. You'd be amazed. I mean, Matthew did it in The Tax Collector. He got saved, met Jesus, followed Jesus, and threw a party at his house and invited Jesus over and all his friends, and they all got saved. And the Pharisees were the religious ones were turning up going, well, what's all this? Like, no. Just bring a few people together and introduce them to one another. Start realizing that you're not the only one that they know that's a Christian, and there's all these other people, and they've all got stories, so something's got to be right here when we get all the mass together. There's opportunities for you to engage in our Team Advanced training that we have this every month. We do a volunteers Team Advanced training. The whole thing for Team Advanced is going to be focused around training you to be able to win your world. If you're Heaven's strategy and you don't know how to go fishing, and he turns up and says, have you caught much? Ain't nobody to blame but you, because the church is equipping you. The church is setting you up so that you know how to engage with these tools. The beauty of this is that not only that, we're hosting a Sharing Jesus Confidently intensive, which is a one-day seminar, which is from 10 a.m. till 4 p.m., that literally by the time you get to the end of that, you can't wait to get out the door and go and share with somebody. Last year, we had 120 people come together to do the Sharing Jesus Confidently intensive. And it's not the booklet, it's not the actual course. It's a whole other focused area of how to empower you to be able to go out and share the good news. And literally, they're seeing people saved. They're seeing people healed. There's conversations, there's boldness, there's confidence. And all of a sudden, these people who didn't were like, oh, I don't know if I can, we became like, oh my gosh, I did. And this is the result. This is incredible. Why? Because they got the right tools and the training on how to use those tools and became effective for the kingdom of God. Whew. The other thing we have is a bunch of resource and training. We give you access to the Sharing Jesus Confidently training course in and of itself. There's one on how to use evangelism and spiritual gifts. There's one on how to use evangelism and healing, evangelism and deliverance. There's so much training there for you to engage with workbooks and activations that will help provoke you to share the good news of the gospel with somebody. But the question is, which tool is for you and which tool are you going to engage in? Would you stand to your feet? We're not doing a series campaign because it's the only time we talk about evangelism. The church exists for this purpose. We're just taking a time and season to focus on it and to bring it to your attention and to provoke and awaken the call for a nation that needs to know Jesus, for a city that needs to know Jesus, for your workplace that needs to know Jesus, for your school, your university, and the places in which you go, they need Jesus. The question is, are you prepared? Are you yielded? And will you step in with obedience to answer the call to be fishers of men?
For some of you, you're inspired. For some of you, you're biting your nails. For some of you, you're like, oh my gosh, get me out of here. I just want to be in the river. It's time to go fishing. Our nation needs it. Our state needs it. Our city needs it. Your family needs it. And I believe more than ever that there is a large catch that is coming, because God's coming to his church and saying, hey, it's time to go fishing. Throw your nets the other side. So God, right now, I thank you for every single individual that's found themselves here in this service today to hear your voice, to hear your word and your invitation. And I thank you, Jesus, in the same way that you came and you approached Peter on the shore. You reminded him of his true purpose. You'd called him to go fish for men. And I thank you, Lord, in your goodness and your kindness, you came back to him and prompted him with a question. Hey, caught much? That provoked him to be reminded to look at you, to behold you and to see you, and to actually step in to all that you had said and spoken over his life. And I thank you, Lord, that today you come to your church and you say exactly the same thing. And we, your church, say yes. We, your church, we lean in and we say yes. I thank you, Lord, for the privilege that it is to be found with a people who have an appetite for the presence of God, to behold him in order to be sent out so that we could win more. And I thank you, Lord, that you are, even as we're hearing the stories over and over again of people being saved out of porn industries, people being saved in schools through prayer groups, people being saved through conversations in cafes, people being saved through the everyday things in our everyday life. And I thank you, God, you want to do it again. And so, Lord, we yield ourselves to you and we say yes. And Lord, where we've got it wrong, we repent. Where we have gone back to whatever it was we did beforehand, or where we've gone back to just patterns of religiosity, God, we choose to put down those things and pick up our nets and follow you. And I ask right now, Holy Spirit, that you would cultivate an appetite and a desire in each one of us to actually know what the tools are, how to use them, and to walk that out. And as we take up the opportunity and we yield ourselves in obedience to you, God, that you would bring in a haul of a catch that would leave us absolutely astounded at your goodness, your grace, and your mercy yet again. I thank you, Lord, for a people that go and make disciples, as you had said. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen, amen, amen. It'd be remiss of me in this moment to actually not go fishing. I don't know how you came here today to be a part of this church service, whether you came with a friend, whether you walked in, or whether you simply were just curious and walked past. Friends, you need to know today that Jesus came, he lived, he died, and he rose again because he loves you. He wants to draw you close to the Father. And he paid a price on it with his life. He paid a price for our debt. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. He paid that price so that you and I don't have to. You heard it through communion so brilliantly. And today he comes to you to ask you, would you like to know him? It's not a religion, it's a relationship. It's a real, living, tangible thing. And tonight, today, he knocks on the door of your heart and he says, will you open your heart to him? We open up your life to him. He will come in, he will dine with you, he will forgive you of your sin, he'll bring you into the family of God, he'll forgive you of everything you've ever done, past, present, and future, and he'll set you up for the future to be a fisherman with him. So right now, while every eye is closed and every head is bowed, I'm going to give you that opportunity to say yes. In the same way you would start a relationship with somebody, there has to be an asking and there has to be a response. And so Jesus comes to you today, friend, and he asks you, will you open up your life to me? Will you receive me? John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Friend, all that's required is that you believe and that you receive. And so how we do that here is we simply ask you to raise your hand like you're saying yes. Yes, I'm saying yes to Jesus. And as you do, we then simply pray. And as you pray, the Bible says when you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you shall be saved, which means you enter into the family of God, you have forgiveness of sin, you have a right to become a child of God, and you have the right to eternal life, and you receive the Holy Spirit to help you do life from here out. And if you would like that today, I'm going to ask you simply on the count of three to raise your hand. One, two, three. If that's you, just give me a wave. Right across the room, right across the room. Thank you, Lord. Yep, awesome. I see that hand. That's awesome. Thank you, Jesus. It's worth it for one, guys. Come on. It's worth it for the one. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We never rush these moments because we want to be patient fishermen waiting on the bite and the nibble. And so right now, right across the room, as I scan across the room one more time, if that is you, would you raise your hand? And we're going to simply pray. Anyone else want to open up and start a life with Jesus? Amazing. Thank you. Thank you. Yep. Thank you. Come on, church. We're going to pray with those individuals today that have raised their hands. Come on. We celebrate it. We thank you, Jesus, for all that you've done. Thank you, Lord. So come on, church. Join with me. Dear Jesus, I thank you that you came, that you died, and you rose again so that I could be in relationship with you, so that I could be forgiven of my sin and have eternal life with you. Today, Jesus, I give you my life. I invite you in. I say yes to following you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen, amen. Come on, how good is that? So much more. I recognize it's 1:30. I know there's a lot of people that are like, man, I'm gonna get out of here, but we're gonna finish with one way on how to finish this, and this is this. Acts 13 actually talks about the moment where the people of God are being gathered together and they're ministering unto the Lord and they're beholding him. And it was from this place of beholding him and this place of prayer, this place of fasting, this place of seeking the face of God, that then actually Paul and Barnabas were sent out. Friend, if you've lost sight of what it means to be a Christian and a follower of Jesus and a fisher of men, just come and behold him. And as we behold him, let him capture us again and remind us that we're fishers of men, and let him send us out. Amen. So come on, let us worship for five more minutes as we seek his face and behold his beauty. May he ignite in us a passion for the lost. Come on.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. Now, we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death, and a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that he, Jesus, demonstrated his love for us, that while we were still sinners, he died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that he gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that he is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life, and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.